Today's the day. And Americans, we need to be prepared for the future, which means we need to recognize that the left wants to, quote, reprogram 75 million people, because apparently 75 million people are just bad people. They want to raise taxes on basically every American citizen. They want to encourage free trade in ways that I would argue will not be helpful to the United States of America. They want to embrace environmental restrictions that will in fact put hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people out of work. They want to provide handouts, literally handouts, to anyone who wants to come here. Meanwhile, President Biden wants us all to be united, just as Nancy Pelosi calls for a 9/11 commission to investigate Trump while appearing on Hillary Clinton's podcast. Yeah, that's what she did. And they say the right is messed up. My goodness. No, no, no. This kind of behavior really does strike me as vindictive and as wrong. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish Regan, and I'm worried. I'm worried that America is going down a path from which it cannot return. Our freedom of speech, look, it's all we have. It's our First Amendment, and yet they're trying to rob us of it. That's in part what this whole deprogram thing is about. So I want you right now to do me this favor, to do yourself this favor. Go to trishintel.com. Sign up for my emails. This is where you are going to get the news that you really need. Sign up, download this podcast. I need you to subscribe. I do, because I do not want them suppressing our First Amendment. Promise me you will do this, because it matters so much to every single one of us right now, to every single American. All sides need to be heard. Anyway, you got the president, soon to be president, I should say, about to kick off his first 100 days. And what a platform he's got set out for himself. He wants to rejoin the Paris Accord. He wants to rehaul immigration. He wants to spend nearly $2 trillion of our money, $1.9 trillion to be exact. Wow. I mean, it's a lot of money. And coming up, we need to talk about it. We need to talk about where he's going wrong. I don't have a problem with the vaccines. I'd prefer to see private companies distributing these vaccines. But nonetheless, that's money well spent. The rest of it is some kind of Bernie Sanders dream. Anyway, what really troubles me right now is, again, this crackdown on our First Amendment. You've got Nancy Pelosi making a little pit stop on Hillary Clinton's podcast. Yeah, she's got a podcast. Who knew? Hillary Clinton's got a podcast. I'm glad you're listening to this one. Anyway, Nancy Pelosi is out there calling for a 9/11 style commission, a 9/11 style commission to investigate Trump, because she's somehow convinced that in the middle of this crisis that we saw last Wednesday on Capitol Hill, in the middle of that, somehow she believes that he was, you know, conspiring with Putin the entire time. It's kind of crazy. So much of what they've said is really conspiracy theory-like. Now, the problem is they're going to always go back to that footage and say, ha, see, I told you so. And this is what puts conservatives at such a disadvantage. But you know what? We can't let that get us down. Okay, because we need to stay focused. And I know every single one of you, if you're listening to this podcast right now, I know you mean well, you're a good person, you believe in your country, you believe in a meritocracy, and you want what's right for our future. So it's not like, you know, going in and storming the Capitol building, but it is making sure that we are heard. And the truth is, we're smarter than them. So let's act like it. Let's get organized. Let's make sure that we regroup, we refocus, we center on what matters right now, which is us, okay? I'm sick of big business calling the shots. I'm sick of big media calling the shots, and big tech for that matter. We, the American people, need to be in charge, and these people need to be looking out for us. Instead, what is it going to turn into? A whole bunch of handouts. A whole bunch of handouts so you can, you know, keep them down on the farm, so to speak. I've got more on that coming up. Don't go anywhere. You know, really and truly, we're talking about Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and this conspiracy theory that they just will not let die. Right? We did have an entire Mueller report. More than $30 million of American taxpayer money that was put into that thing. And years of everyone's life, including the media's life, obsessed with it. And yet Nancy Pelosi is saying, I don't know what Putin has on him politically, financially, or personally, but what happened last week was a gift to Putin, because Putin wants to undermine democracy in our world and throughout the world. So yes, we should have a 9/11 commission, and there is strong support in the Congress to do that. She's insisting, right, that Congress establish this investigative body. Look, can we not move on? I mean, can we not? Please just move on. I mean, is she really that vindictive that she wants to go back and rehash everything? I mean, frankly, I think it's politically stupid, right? Because you've got your president there who wants to unify everyone. I'll believe it when I see it, but he keeps talking a good game, right? He wants to unify everyone. And then he's got people like Pelosi out there trying to suggest we go back in time. And so that's really not going to work. At this point, everybody needs to focus on the future. But let me talk about what this future might really mean, because as we look at this $1.9 trillion package, and that's a lot of money, right? I mean, remember Obama's package? $800 billion. And that was a lot of money back then. We're now talking, you know, a lot more, $1.9 trillion. And by the way, this is just the first installment, because he wants this to hit January and he's got another one coming in February. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets it, right? Because have you ever met a politician that doesn't want to spend a ton of money? I haven't. I mean, I'd like to see some conservatives actually stand up for fiscal conservatism, but we don't see a lot of that because everyone is on the take. So I have a feeling this thing will get pushed through in a pretty massive way. And it is just the beginning. Let's talk about this, because how is this really going to help the employment situation in the United States? There was an interesting study that was done by my friends at the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, including with UChicago's Casey Mulligan, and they looked at employment numbers. Casey Mulligan's a phenomenal labor economist, and what they determined was that 2/3 of unemployed workers will be paid more to stay at home than to go back to work. And this is courtesy of the federal government, because you're getting $400 a week from the federal government that's guaranteed through September, and you're given money by your state. Why the heck go back to work for a lousy $500 or $600 if you can make just as much, if not more, staying home, right? I mean, Americans, we're logical people. And yes, there's a lot of great, you know, reward in work. But come on, I mean, you're not going to go to work when you could sit home and make the exact same, if not more money by doing nothing, really. I mean, so they're not thinking through this agenda in ways that really, really matter. These numbers are pretty unsustainable. We don't have the money, frankly, to do this $27 trillion in debt, but that's not even the issue. I just look at it and say, hey, great. Okay, so you're going to offer this $1,400 check now. What happens in February? What happens in March? What happens this summer? Right? What is the plan, guys? You're just going to keep handing out money forever? Because we don't have it. And then you think about other issues that they're tackling. I know that they're very environmentally focused. That's a big part of their agenda. So they want to get rid of the XL pipeline. This is a pipeline that we have from Alberta, Canada, basically down to Texas to transport our energy. Canada is an ally of ours. There's a lot of people that are employed in really good, well-paying jobs that are working on this pipeline right now. So what happens to them? They're just all going to get laid off and they're going to live on their $400 a week federal unemployment benefits. And don't forget, it's not like everybody else is not doing some kind of pipeline themselves. I mean, you've got a pipeline going from China to Russia, from Siberia to China. You know, they're going to reap a lot of rewards out of that. I don't see them canceling their pipeline. You just have to think about this, right, in the context of the overall scheme of things. So consequently, you've got an environment that's going to become increasingly challenged. I don't know ultimately how we afford this, but more importantly, I just don't know what's next. I don't know what their intention is, other than maybe they want to get a bunch of people to live off of Uncle Sam and make them dependent. It's not who we are. We're independent go-getters, right? We don't want to sit there and wait for a check from Uncle Sam. It's not in our nature. It's not who we are. So this is the agenda. And I think that it's just important that people recognize it and understand it, right? As an investor, you need to understand it. Hey, the Fed's going to keep rates low. That you've got fiscal and monetary policy actually working together to try and prop up this economy. How can this economy not be better? Well, it cannot be better because it's all fake. and the economy doesn't respond to fake, the markets may, right? The markets, like, they love it. They're like, whoa, more stimulus. Great, great, great. I'm actually getting a little nervous about this market because I think it's a little toppy right now. But nonetheless, you know, the party's still going. So people are going to still say, okay, I need to be in this market. Don't forget the effect of the US dollar depreciating, right? Our dollar keeps going down because they're going to keep printing more of them. Therefore, they're not as valuable. And when the stock market's valued in dollars, well, it takes that many more dollars to really equate to any kind of value. So all of these things come into play. But I am just a simple old-fashioned girl that believes in things like fundamentals, all right? And I don't love the fundamentals in this economy right now. I would be very happy to be surprised. You know what? Prove me wrong. But last I checked, Americans are pretty smart people. Human beings have a lot going on, right? And you offer them the opportunity to stay home. I question, how long can they do that, really? Because you get the $400, you get the state benefits, you get the $1,400. Now you had the $600 last month. How many more payouts are we talking about? Coming up, somebody who's getting, it seems, a little bit nervous about things. The third richest man in the world is out there buying farmland. Who is it and where's he buying? That story next. A lot of people say, you know, where should I put my money? Where should I put my money? Should it be in gold? Should it be in Bitcoin? Well, I'll tell you, one guy who's pretty smart, third richest man in the world, Bill Gates is who I'm talking about. Bill Gates is putting his money in land, farmland. He's on a reported spending spree. He's been buying up acres and acres and acres to become the biggest owner of America's farmland. Wow. So down on the range, huh? The billionaire Microsoft co-founder is said to be buying all this land all throughout the country. You know, I can't say I blame him. During the throes of COVID, one of the things I thought to myself was, and I live in the country and everything, but I thought, I want to live in the real country, like real, real country, like thousands and thousands and thousands of acres away from anyone. And apparently I'm not alone because Bill Gates is having the same thoughts. He is now reportedly the proud owner of 242,000 acres of farmland and nearly 27,000 acres of other land in 19 different states. This is according to a new report in something called The Land Report, which is a magazine for land investors. And Gates' holdings are the largest, actually, this is interesting, in Louisiana and Arkansas. I wonder what it is about Louisiana and Arkansas. You know, Texas and Florida might have made more sense to me, or maybe Texas and New Hampshire, because they have the low income taxes, no state income taxes, but Louisiana and Arkansas are his top picks. His foundation, of course, we know is very interested in sustainable farming. So perhaps that factored into his decision. We don't exactly know what he intends to use all this land for in the future, but you know what? He's got plenty of it. He may soon have more. And land, you know, that's one way to go. That's one way to go. At least the third richest man in the world thinks so. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Do make sure that you subscribe to TrishIntel.com. Subscribe to this podcast. Let's make sure that they do not suppress all voices, because we need a country that's rich in diversity. And that includes intellectual diversity. So thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to see you back here tomorrow.